Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 101, Episode 2 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Everybody works for Jack O'Brien. Everybody's making great podcasts. Everybody loves the coal gas study. At least that's what everyone tells Jack. Courtesy of Christy, I'm Gucci Man, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Gang police, I've given all I can, it's not enough. I've given all I can, but we're still secondary.
Just one more.
This is what you get.
Just let that cook.
This is what you'll get. This is what you'll get when you smoke with me. You'll get ED.
Maybe, is what my doctor suspects.
Is that where it comes from?
Well, I don't know. Huh. But Ben Kruger seems to think so at BenK625. Thanks for that one.
Hell
staying
yeah.
Alive.
Hell yeah. I love that you included even Tom York's ad-libs when he says, just let that one cook.
Just let that one cook. And then singing the piano part as he sings.
The piano part as he plays.
As someone who was always a frustrated piano player, I would always, I have to sing that. Anyway,
that should just be the rest of the episode.
That should be, and thank you so much for having us. Olivia, where can we find you?
Thank you so much. Goodbye.
We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian Olivia Gunawan.
Hi.
Welcome back.
It's me.
It's you.
How have you been since last we spoke? Good, I hope.
Yeah.
Good.
Pretty good. Pretty wild. Trying to figure out what I want to do with my life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Comedy's still up there, though?
Comedy,
on that list?
Comedy is number one.
I thought you'd come here and be like, yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know why you guys are into this comedy stuff so much.
Yeah, I just come here and I'm like, yeah, I've completely switched careers entirely from the two that I had. I now build trains.
Great.
Build trains. Holy shit.
I'm a train builder.
By yourself?
What kind of system?
Just like in my basement.
Steam powered?
Oh, okay. Basement.
Oh, no.
You're like the Tony Stark.
I'm an engineer.
Of
trains.
But just in my basement, my mom's basement.
Very cool. Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better and probably find out more about that.
Those trains.
First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're talking about Greta Thunberg holding it down for
everyone,
the world.
Yeah.
Everyone, literally everyone. A little bit more on the whistleblower story. We're going to talk about the Emmys. We're going to talk about the showdown between the Bagel Boss guy and Lenny Dykstra. We're going to talk about another Lenny. It's a Lenny full episode because Lenny Kravitz has a problem and he needs our help solve it. We're going to talk about Tinder's new streaming show, all of that and plenty more. But first, we like to ask our guest, Pallavi, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay. I was on Bumble and I saw this guy that looked a lot like Jabuki Young White. Mm-hmm. So then I had to look up who his brothers were to make sure it wasn't like one of his brothers.
There you go.
It wasn't, because it also was somebody whose name it was like Jarvis, and so I was like, that's pretty close to Jabuki Javay.
You never know.
Of his brothers are named J A, and I was like, this guy looks a lot. What if it's the lost brother they don't talk about?
He recently found that person on Twitter. I think like 3 weeks ago, there was some dude who looked exactly like him.
Exactly like him.
Really?
And then he was like, who the fuck is this dude?
Oh, shit. I wonder if it's the same guy.
I don't know if he lived, was this in L.A.?
Yeah, this
is
on Bumble.
I think this
LA.
Was a person who lived somewhere else. But
did I forward you guys that picture of the lion costume?
Oh, yes, that someone that spotted you on a bag costume?
Yeah. It's like my picture, but they're wearing a lion costume. It's like the model on the side of a cheap Halloween costume. Lion costume.
This just.
Oh
for
my
your
god!
Reference.
Yes.
Isn't that
it
weird?
Looks. Are you? You're not getting a check
now.
From
I can't see you without
without
nose
a lion. Yeah.
This guy does have a bit more of a squarer face than you.
Right.
Though. That's how I know it's not.
Yeah.
You.
More manly jawline, but
and the hands
similar.
Are very sure.
Yeah.
The hand placement is very confident.
Yeah. Looks like he knows
what he's doing.
He's like, hey, this is where hands go.
This is where a lion. This is
how I've never had.
Hey, this is where hands go.
I know what to do with my hands. Don't tell me.
Right.
He's modeling. He's like, that's the only thing I know.
But yeah. Right. He's like, I don't know what I'm doing in this costume. I don't know how much I'm getting paid, but I damn sure well know what these hands do.
What these hands do.
What those hands do. What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, hold on. Overrated. Private transit.
Yeah.
I think it's overrated. I take public transit a lot because I'm broke. But also, I continue to do so because I think it's better for the environment and stuff. And also, if more people use it, then they'll invest more stuff in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
We'd all benefit.
And LA is literally, there couldn't be a city that needs it more, but the people cannot. We don't have the infrastructure to move in certain directions that we need to make it convenient. If you have a very specific commute, I feel like it's easy for very specific routes, I feel like. But sort of going from east to west, north to south in huge sweeping ways isn't as easy as it could be.
And it's sometimes it takes less time because it goes underground. Did we talk about this last time about how a lot of the private car companies had influence on where the highways would be so that it would fuck up the public transit in LA, and that's why it's so weird?
I do know that Koch Industries arm of political action groups have kind of been interesting bedfellows with places like Uber, because their dream is to just kneecap public transit.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Are you talking about back in the 50s?
Yeah, this is back in the day when the highways were being built.
I mean, yes, we've definitely talked about that, I think in past episodes, maybe not specifically when you were on, but
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
But
LA had a pretty extensive electric cable car system.
Right.
And then that got torn up. I've read people have kind of debunked that theory that it was the private car companies that came in. But I don't know. I haven't read up. I've read up a lot on the theory and details that make it seem like it's true.
Well, I'm sure they lobbied hard to get those infrastructure improvements built, so right. It incentivizes automobile use.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like not a conspiracy. It's like how America works. So right. I don't know. But yeah, now that we've made a few adjustments to like our air quality regulations, you can see stuff in LA now.
Well,
it's not perfect.
I have bad Angeleno habits because I grew up here and there was no public transit really as a kid. I mean, I would take the bus from school sometimes, but I drive fucking so much, obviously.
Do you ever get frustrated with like parking and like tickets? And is that
Hell no, because I stays in the valley where parking is abundant and the weed flows like porn. It's the valley, baby. But yeah,
it's all digital weed.
I get
now.
Stressed out. No, I do get stressed out in certain parts of town because you're like, in my mind, I'm like, nowhere to park there. Yeah. Or like, if you do, it's going to take up a lot of your time. But that's like a habit I'm trying to break a little bit more, because coming to Hollywood is easy from the valley because, like, luckily the red line is meant to sort of bring people from certain parts of the valley to this side. But it's you got to embrace it because our metro is pretty good.
Now, Pallavi, I can't help but notice that you are talking up a form of transit that you also build in your basement.
Right.
Yes.
Interesting.
Trains.
Yes.
Very interesting. What is something you
I'm
think
lobbying
is...
I'm hard.
Tell us about that investment opportunity you said you had,
Elsa. Oh, it's a monorail.
A monorail.
We talked about that last time, too.
Is there a chance the track could bend?
What is something you think is underrated?
Like, this sounds so bad. Arranged marriage, but in like a modern sense.
Okay.
Because like in my extended family, there's like arranged marriage, but it's like.
Why did you use air quotes?
Because it's not really like what people think of it as. Because now in like the cities and in like, you know, more like liberal progressive families in India and stuff, they like, it's just like another dating app, but like through your parents. It's like they send each other like essentially like resumes, the biodata, and pictures. And they're like, would your kid be interested in this girl or boy or whatever? And then they like they decide to like meet. And then like the kids are like, eh, I'm not feeling it, or like I am. But it's like with the intent for marriage. So it's like it's accelerated dating app that your family would approve of. So for some people that works. For me, like not at all. My parents have no idea what I would want.
Right.
But like for some people.
And how much agency do the bride and groom have in deciding whether or not. So they can be like, I'm not feeling it. It's done. It's a wrap. Yeah. Next. Swipe left.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
So it's almost just like switching
You've never used the apps before?
Well, I don't have thumbs.
Oh, okay.
Right. It's almost like switching up the order of like how dating goes in a lot of like modern circumstances, which is just that like you bring them home to the parents and the parents are like, nah, this ain't it. Or
it's like that MTV show where the parents approved, but
parental
like
control?
Way less white trash.
Right.
Dude, I love those because like the boyfriend would always be like, hate the parents because they're obviously a terrible partner to their child or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I can't wait till the fucking dad sees me. I'm not going nowhere, bro.
Right.
Yeah. So what? I fucking crashed my dirt bike with their daughter on the back and we broke our bones, but it's all good, dude.
Right.
And then at the end, like he gets dumped and he's like, what?
Yeah.
He's always shocked.
And the dad is always like, yeah, fuck you. And you're like, was this really about the dad just hating the guy? Whatever.
Right.
You know, once you see the dad, you're like, that's why she's dating the guy.
So what kind of arranged marriage, what would be your ideal arranged marriage, air quote, arranged marriage
for me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in marriage,
but for other people,
I think for other people, it would be good. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, the parental barrier, but then it's like, then I would be suspicious of my parents. I'm like, where are the freaks at, though, mom?
Wouldn't you be more suspicious if they were a freak? No,
if
they kept hooking you up with freaks.
Then I would be like, yo,
then you'd be
mom,
like, what?
She's
what
like,
are
I
you
want
guys?
Grandkids
What's
by any means
noise?
Necessary.
Right,
give me
right.
These grandkids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Because there are like certain people who it's very important to them that their parents like approve, or they either that or they've like internalized like what their parents would think of somebody.
But I also think some people are just close to their families and they like share the same values.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. You know, other people. I don't I don't know. But I feel like I'm too much of a wild card. My aunt will always like call me and be like, I know a good Cindy boy, and I'm like, Auntie, based on my Facebook statuses, can you really predict like who you could find for my personality? And it's just silence. And she's like, when are you coming to visit?
Like, have you seen my Twitter feed?
Yeah.
Did you say something like, I need to put my pussy on do not disturb or some shit like that?
I said, put my pussy on night mode.
Yeah, I think your aunt's gonna see that. She's like, I don't know. Does her brand of humor appeal to you? Can you? Are you able to put it on night mode for her?
Sometimes I just tweet like phrases.
Yeah, no, I so laugh. Stupid. I remember. And I sent them to your aunt too.
Great.
Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
So I feel like people already know this, but the first computer programmer was a woman, Ada Lovelace, and she like I think when she was a teen, she like met up with this guy who was like building like one of the first like computer type machines, and she like wrote the first program to generate Bernoulli numbers, which is like a series of numbers. But she was like a fucking genius, and she was a baller because she like knew she was a genius, and she was like, people will figure it out later.
Damn.
And she died at like 36 of cancer, but she'd already she was like a brilliant mathematician and programmer in the 1800s.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like and that guy that she met, Bill Gates.
No.
All her ideas.
She died in 1852.
Oh wow.
And then, yeah, I think I was looking up the numbers. The New York Times has like an article about the secret history of female programmers or something. And there was like 25% was like where it started because dudes were like, we want to build the hardware. That's right. Where all the strength is. And so they just like had women program like in the 50s, in the 1950s. And then I think around like after the 90s, like so it went up to like 36 or 37% of women were programmers, and then it dropped back down to like 25 in the 90s. And I think it has to do with like marketing and how they marketed computers and stuff.
Right.
For
to
boys.
Make it it's for boys. Yeah.
It's blue, so like dudes use it.
Right.
Well, it depends on what flavor you get.
Yeah.
Of iMac.
That's why I only have cherry Gatorade for girls.
Cherry Gatorade, and I drink Riptide Rush.
Yeah. I mean, the entire history of the sciences like seems like it's just overtly, like consciously writing women out of the history. Like,
yeah.
Were those first computers like steam-powered things that were using like punch cards or some shit? Like how,
it was,
how
like,
did it
work? Before they had the technology to actually build computers.
So what would,
so
a,
it was
what
like,
would code look like then?
I don't know. So the guy was Charles Babbage, and it was an analytical engine.
Huh.
And I think she was the first one to, like, Ada saw, like, this technology and was like, this is going to make, like, graphics and every, like, she predicted everything we're doing now. But it was,
Whoa.
Yeah, it looked like this, actually. It was a trial model of part of it.
Whoa.
It looked like that.
And the Illuminati gave her cancer.
Yeah,
to
isn't that crazy?
It so that.
Thank you. Speak facts to this.
Yeah.
It looks like an electronic abacus almost.
Yeah. It's like a big, there's a lot of spokes and shit. Wheels.
A bit of a loom.
There's
some
literally
gears.
Like no wheels. Oh, there's a little bit kind of.
Gears.
Gears.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Name some other parts. So lever.
Know, the names for things.
There's our crankshaft over in
the. You got the bars.
Sound of soft frame furniture.
Yeah, there's some bars in there.
Bars.
All right, let's talk about Greta Thunberg. She spoke at the UN's climate summit.
Yeah.
I don't know. Felt very moving. I'll say that. Well, very, earnest.
Yeah, well, the summit itself was, like, a mixture of, you know, other countries being like, this is what we're doing to fight climate change. And, like, then being businesses being like, let's pat ourselves on the back for doing less than the bare minimum. But it's something, so we'll pretend it's revolutionary.
Right.
And... you know, again, we are the situation that the planet is in is serious. It's dire. And meanwhile, the world leaders are getting together to kind of be like, yeah, man, like what we're doing is pretty chill. Let's let's keep going and we'll do the right thing. So when Greta Thunberg got up to speak, she gave a very sober assessment of everything. And we'll just let her words speak for themselves because it's very moving to hear. This is probably like the first, 30 or so seconds of what she said.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words, and yet I'm one of the lucky ones. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
And she went on just to continue to call out, you know, the world leaders for their inaction, how, you know, if they fail to act, the only logical conclusion for people of her generation and younger is to be like, you are the people who, like, we are answering for your inaction. The theme was basically, how dare you? And it was very moving.
I wonder if, like, when her generation gets to leadership positions, if in the same way that people are punished for, like, war crimes, if people are going to be punished for, like, crimes against the earth.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Where they're retrospectively be like, what? And just so you know, I think we already know y'all are the destroyers.
Right.
Yeah.
And here we go. I thought your question was going to be like, when they get older, what's going to happen when they sell out and they start getting those checks?
No.
Because I'm also curious what would happen. I think that happens a lot to every generation too. I don't even want to introduce that possible narrative, not especially to what she's doing.
I guess I'm just more optimistic.
Not in that sense. I have nothing negative to say about her.
I feel like this ties in with the younger generation being more about, like, socialism than capitalism is, like, you know, the idea of just constant, consistent, long-term capitalistic growth, like market growth, just doesn't work for the long-term, you know, sustenance of our species.
Right.
And
yeah, it doesn't matter if we're all fucking dead.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, I feel like a lot of times people, like, frame it as like, oh, you know, they're tree huggers, but like it is a war crime, essentially. I mean, you're killing people by ignoring these problems.
Yeah,
people
who are deeply concerned about the climate are not tree huggers. They're we don't want to dieers.
Right.
That's it is. And I think to frame it like that is so disingenuous. And to think even now, right, she goes on in her speech to say, you know, you've been looking at research for 30 years.
Right.
And have done fuck all.
Yeah.
And like everything you've done has been minimal. Or like, what's the cost? Not realizing this is not the game we're in. It's fucking do or die right now. And the disingenuous attacks sort of continue too, especially from the right, because on Fox and Friends, they had this fucking moron on. His name is Mark Moreno or Morano or whatever the fuck his name is. To basically talk about, you know, they were very flippant about the climate strikes on Friday. And then in response to this, they were basically trying to paint Greta Thunberg as like this fear monger. I don't know. Listen to this really interesting assessment from the right of what Greta Thunberg is standing for.
What is it about her that has interested so many young people?
Well, she sells fear. Greta Thunberg started in Sweden every Friday outside the Swedish parliament, and it spread to skip school in order to have a future. In other words, she's actually said, and she's addressed the EU, the United States Congress, testified that why should kids go to school if they have a future that will be no more unless government passes laws like the Green New Deal, more UN treaties, etc. So this message of fear...
And is it working in Sweden?
It worked in Sweden, it's working in Europe, and now it's come to the U.S. The message of fear sells. There's reports now in Europe where kids are getting anti-anxiety medication. They believe they're going to die. She is the Greta effect. She's causing and instilling fear in millions of kids around the world and actually has them believing that government can legislate our climate. In other words, if we pass the Green New Deal in America, these kids can all go back to school.
I mean, you offer these kids.
What are you talking about?
You offer these kids lollipops and, you know, tell them there's a monster in their closet.
Exactly.
And they're going to be, you know, they're going to be freaking out.
Telegotchis with their Pokemans, you know.
Jesus Christ. He, like, made all of our points for
us. Yeah. Which is so
he was like, the government can't legislate. Literally, you can.
Well, that guy, first of all, he could not embody the position of the fossil fuel industry even more. He's like the manifestation of everything that is wrong with climate change denial. I mean, not that everything is wrong about climate change now, but he is like it. He's the human version of it. He always talks about climate change. He has quick search on Amazon for his work. He has one book called The Politically Incorrect Guide to Climate Change.
Boom.
Boom. Owned. And on the back cover,
people are too PC about climate change.
No, the whole thing is like, you think you know all about climate change, but did you know the world is spending nearly $1 billion a day to prevent global warming? Is that a bad thing? Okay.
Right. Scientific, like not enough.
A UN scientist has said the 97% consensus quote on global warming was quote pulled from thin air.
A scientist?
Yeah. Climate policies are crushing the world's poor. Oh, so I'm guessing that a person reading this is so concerned about the world's poor.
Right.
That they're like, well, actually, again. And then they say, and meanwhile, major hurricane landfalls in the United States have declined over the past 140 years. F3 or larger tornadoes have been in decline since the 1970s. Antarctica is actually gaining ice. Like,
Jesus Christ. Okay, you know what? There should be a requirement that everybody has to have a PhD in order to run for a public office.
Seriously, at some point. At this point.
Who published that book?
Like it's like self-published. It's self-published. Oh. I'm pretty sure it was for free at a certain point.
But he managed to get a blurb from Sean Hannity on it that says the climate scare stops here.
Yep.
Did you guys see the two things with Greta that happened like this morning and yesterday? Did you see the Dinesh D'Souza tweet?
Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about that.
Children, notably Nordic white girls with braids and red cheeks, were often used in Nazi propaganda. An old Goebbels, I can't pronounce it, technique. Looks like today's progressive left is learning its game from an earlier left in the 1930s, and he had like Nazi propaganda right next to her.
Yeah. So, I mean.
Yeah, you know, killing Jews and saving the environment, same thing.
Yeah, nice try, guys. Nice try with your braids.
Nice try, Hitler, that was uploaded to the cloud.
Right.
Trying to do your work now in the future.
Braids. Enough said.
Also,
Your Honor.
So Nazis are bad?
Case closed.
So Nazis are bad?
Pick a fucking side.
Which one is it? Because half the time you're trying to obscure like what the Nazis actually were, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing that was bad about the Nazis was that they were too leftist.
Right. So they were socialists.
Right.
Because I'm going to use that. I'm going to focus on, you know, a very one-dimensional understanding of certain things and be like, that's what that is. So
yeah,
that's why they're bad. Not because of the genocide and
people are so
Holocaust.
Dumb.
Yeah.
I can't get over how dumb people are.
Well, it just shows you too, like, I don't understand. You know, again, if people on the right are so concerned about denying that this is happening, can we just, like I keep saying, let's get a sign-up sheet. People who don't believe in climate change, sign your name to the cursed earth where you will have to live. Because if you want to act like it's not real, then when the shit hits the fan, you're the first volunteers to just stay behind. Because it's not real, right? You'll survive. Yeah.
The rich are so insulated. There's like they're not even going to be the ones to die in the next 100 years, right? Like it's going to be everybody else, and they're going to be like up in their towers.
Yeah, and right. Like, ooh, boy.
And also,
their private jets.
It's the people. It tends to be people who are going to be long dead by the time the shit starts hitting the fan.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's easy for them.
And that was really the cutting thing about what Greta said. It was like, how dare you come to the youth for fucking hope over this?
Right.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like they have none. I mean, not that they have none, but it's such a different. I mean, when I was a kid, Jack, when you were contemporaries. Climate change was a very well. Come on, man. We would have been in high school. Come on, man. We would have been friends. Come on. Really, you don't think so? Anyway, I'm saying when we were
kids, you would have been way too cool for me. I was 5 years older than you, and you would have been way too cool for me.
They're like, he's making me smoke weed, guys. I like it. Like back then, climate change was a thing that was acknowledged. I think in progressive cities, maybe as like, yeah, man, that is something. But it was not. There was no urgency.
Yeah.
And now, like, we do have now these kids. It's much different. It's like, no, this is the thing that's gonna fuck everything up.
Well, I think because of the acceleration of the understanding of the situation, right?
Right.
Like with the climate change report, like last October or whatever, that was like a huge significant piece of information that had like very specific numbers for like temperature increases in very specific zones.
Yeah.
And they had like multiple levels of it. They had one for policymakers, which was like the dumbed down version, which is the one that I read. And it was all, and it had like an accumulation of scientists from like all over the world and how sure they were about each fact.
Right.
So I think like as people became like more aware of like how urgent this is, and it's been accelerating. They were able to like spread that information more, but yeah, it's.
But now it's like, what do we do? You know, because I mean, we know what we need to do, but the odds are really bad.
Yeah, but you can't not do anything.
Of course, that's,
like,
not at all.
That's the problem. I think that like most people are like, well, it's so big and like it's already bad. Like there's nothing we can do, and it's like, no, there are like ways to like alleviate the issue or like to make it not as horrible.
Right. And but I think that's the logic being applied to some of these world leaders. Like, well, we're supposed to fundamentally change like everything about how we're doing stuff in our country. I know, but that's literally how they say it, right? It's not even like that. It's obvious where other people are like, we need to fundamentally change how we do everything to address this. And some people are like, are we sure we need to do that? And not acknowledging that's where we are right now.
Yeah. I had never heard her speak before, that clip. And there's like something, it just feels like, I don't know, like it does give you a little bit of hope because it seems like, okay, she's on this, like, in this completely different like headspace from where the conversation has been before, where it's almost like a like spiritual, like it's just like totally, she's actually thought it through and is like kind of moving things in a direction they need to move.
Like visceral anger without compromise.
Right. Yeah. But meanwhile, on the right, another thing that's happening on the right is there was an image that was circulating over the weekend after people were saying like, yeah, they want to clean up the earth. Well, maybe start by throwing away your garbage. And they had a picture that was supposedly after the climate strike with like garbage all over a field. And that it was actually like a fake image. It was from a like 420 celebration.
Oh,
like,
come on.
4 years ago. Yeah. But yeah, it's just, you know.
Did you see what happened? I don't know if you guys are going to talk about this tomorrow, but what happened this morning was that she and 15 other children filed a complaint.
Against.
With the UN.
Right.
Saying that five of the world's major economies have violated their human rights by not taking adequate action to stop the unfolding climate change crisis.
Yeah. And she's right.
Like, and sue the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all five of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing five-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory five-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at meaningfulbeauty.com.
And we're back. And there was also a great GIF, a great image of Greta at the UN and then standing to the side as Trump walked in full of bluster and just being like, yeah, now you're in my world, everyone. Was sort of the vibe of watching that clip.
Watching him just walk through the UN building was just like, he was just Bobby Big Dick. Thinking he Big was Dick. So cool with all the it was, ugh.
Fuck. But there's a reason he thinks he's so cool, and he's starting to, I mean, the Washington
Neural
Post.
Syphilis.
But the Washington Post pointed out, I mean, it is kind of rational the way that he is operating, because he is starting to believe he can get away with anything following the Mueller report, because he is getting away with anything. And they pointed out that this whistleblower story, the call in question with the Ukrainian president, happened the day after Mueller's testimony, and people being like, well, that was a total loss, like, and, you know, totally deflated the Democrats' like passion to impeach him the next day. So after like the idea of him being held accountable for his working with foreign countries to influence the 2016 election is like sort of taken down a notch, he starts working with a foreign power to affect the 2020 election.
Right, he's like okay, note taken. Okay, yeah. So that's okay. It was a bit of a
so
news.
So you're not going to do shit?
Bit of a shit storm for the news, but functionally nothing happened.
Right.
So I guess
and a shit storm from the news where functionally nothing happens, that gives his whole thing energy.
Because it's like, watch me fucking transgress. And what? Now I progress.
But then he like, did he have a list where he was like, all the shit with the Mueller report? And then he was like, next up,
check
fuck
off
with Biden. Yeah. Like, does he, is there like logic to the next steps?
It's like I think it's like a rat with a pellet. It's like, oh, that one wasn't electrified. So I'll keep eating it.
Who else am I mad at? Biden. Yeah, something like about Biden.
Right. And I mean, again, so with that whistleblower thing, there wasn't a lot of talk or whatever. Then Sunday, he finally admitted. He fucking admitted that the call happened. Okay, interesting. Because he's probably got a lot more confidence about this. And he says that the conversation I had was largely congratulatory, was largely corruption. All of the corruption taking place was largely the fact that we don't want our people, like Vice President Biden and his son, contributing to the corruption already in Ukraine. And then described the call as perfect, with absolutely nothing wrong.
It was perfect. It was the best call.
It was a flawless
victory.
People
are going to hear, and it's one of the best calls ever that they've ever heard.
You should have seen it. Flawless victory. Did a Bay
Ballady. You guys listen to a lot of calls. This is a good one. This is one of the good calls that
call
you've ever
was good?
Heard. The call is great.
Perfect.
Perfect, almost.
10 out of 10 call. What the fuck is that? It was, so again.
I said hello. I said goodbye. And then we talked in between.
And then I said, okay, well, best wishes to you and yours.
Right. I bet he didn't even say that shit.
No, not at all. Perfect meaning nothing untoward happened.
So, I mean, the overall dynamic of the conversation and why this could be problematic is that Ukraine has been trying to fight off Russia.
Yeah.
Who he has interesting relationship to. And the U.S. has been withholding aid, military aid to the Ukraine, which ties with his overall vibe towards Russia. And apparently we're not supposed to call it the Ukraine. We're just supposed to refer to it as Ukraine. And I'll try and do that going forward. But I have it in my head from the episode of Seinfeld where they're playing Risk. And he says, the Ukraine is weak. Yeah, so Ukraine is trying to fight off Russia. And, you know, Trump's like withholding military aid. And it seems like, you know, this could be a carrot and a stick situation.
Well, it's just, of course, I mean, you know, the timing stunk like shit, basically. And here's the other thing. On that call, it wasn't just like a light suggestion. He brought it up 8 fucking times.
Yeah.
So there was no, it wasn't like anything to hide behind. And this is where it gets like, you know, the Democrats have failed to hold this president accountable in so many ways. But a lot of the room or the feeling is that if there's a transcript or a recording of this call that were to come out, it would help a lot of undecided Democrats come out, because I guess suddenly this is the thing that they're going to decide to put their foot down about. Because I guess it's so sort of like objectively sort of like he's leaning on another government and withholding military aid to dig up dirt on a political opponent for an election.
for an upcoming election.
He's using, exactly, like the instability of a region to motivate them acting out in his interests.
Yeah, it feels like more urgent than what happened with Russia, because in that case, like, Russia was the stronger. It's like building somebody up versus like tearing them down, right?
Right.
So with Ukraine, like, in these dire conditions, like, to threaten their demise even further, I think that that's like more of a violation of people's morals.
Yeah,
right.
And I you know, Nancy Pelosi said some stuff. It wasn't necessarily convincing that we were like actually moving towards impeachment. But there are many undecideds who, for whatever reason, this is starting to move them a little bit closer. It feels like less political,
yeah,
I guess, somehow.
I think like people are more upset, it seems like.
Well, yeah. And then even Republicans are kind of pretending to give
Republican
a shit.
Is kind of pretending.
Well, one and one half, right?
Okay.
So Mitt Romney, you know, said out loud with his mouth or through a tweet,
right,
so with his hands, that if, you know, it's true or whatever, it would be, quote, troubling to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And then
to the extreme, he rocks a mic like a vandal.
Exactly. Yeah. And even Lindsey Graham, number one cheerleader, was saying the White House, he was actually suggesting the White House should release material to sort of clear the air because it's just too much drama. Because I think what is happening is that even Republicans are like, this is fucking not good. And again, you're going to need to give us some talking point for cover, because they need cover every fucking time something happens. And taking this into an election, among the myriad of things that are making being a GOP member of Congress, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for?
Untenable.
Almost. But so like they need another defense, because there's another statistic that says only 40% of Republicans who are in office when Trump was inaugurated are leaving or gone.
40% are gone
or leaving or retiring.
That's
or whatever.
A big number.
They like get in that elevator when everyone's asking them questions. So they don't
right.
say anything, and then they just disappear and
right.
never yeah. heard from again.
Yeah. Yeah. They vanish to the land of cowards.
Yeah, it's like the magic trick in the Prestige. They just get in there and whoosh.
Boom.
And then they're replaced by another white man.
Right. Exactly.
They're all twins.
Yeah.
In order and
to
no
get
one
into
noticed.
Into Congress, you have to be an identical twin that you've been keeping a secret your whole life. And I was listening to that intelligence podcast that I listened to, Rational Security. And this was even before they had the details about what this was. I think they recorded it last week on Wednesday. But they were just talking about how worrying it is, because a lot of the checks and balances between the intelligence community and Congress are like norms based. And if it becomes a, you know, fuck you, sue me situation, like it seems to be becoming with Trump, mm-hmm. where he's like, I don't have to give you anything. Who's going to stop me? Then it really, like, it's a constitutional crisis. It's like next level, like, okay, we've never been in this situation before. And the way the Constitution is written is there's like a lot of things that are contradictory, where it's like, it's not clear who has the power. And that's why it's worked so far, because there's been like pushing back and forth over like 200 years. But now Trump is like finding those little creases, those little pressure points in the U.S. Constitution, pressing the shit out of them.
Yeah,
he just really wants us to rewrite it to include more voices. That's what that's the whole, his whole game plan was like, they're just like not enough LGBTQ people and people of color
that's
that helped
true.
Write the Constitution. Uh-huh. So I'm going to find all the holes in it and I'm going to make sure that they have to rewrite the whole thing.
He's like, y'all don't really even realize what I did. Took it out from the inside.
He's playing 4D chess.
Mic drop.
I think with impeachment, there's like the morality issue of like setting the terms of impeachment for like future presidents and everything. And then there's like the game people are playing, where they're like, well, what if it like martyrs him, or what if it's like bad for the election, or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I feel like that's like part of the reason that people aren't willing to do it, is because they're like worried about the implications for the immediate future, as opposed to
there's that
long-term.
And then there's like the calculus with like Pelosi, which is like, I don't want to put Democrats who are already in like more red purple districts to have to like be on that side and possibly lose the House. There's so many calculations going on, except for the one of just sort of like, this is fucking wrong.
Yeah.
And what the fuck? Like, what's the problem here? You're using all these other, and that, I guess that's the problem with a lot of the decision making here, is there are so many factors that someone could consider, but the sort of fundamental thing is that this president could possibly take us in a direction fully that like we can't even come back from.
Yeah.
And I get that. Yeah. Like, would he be martyred if he was, you know, impeached and then removed from office that way? But I think even if he loses in 2020, there's going to be a narrative for some people that it wasn't real. So it's fucked either way.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be peaceful or clean either way, unless, and even then people talk about, well, maybe if there's a video of something so terrible happening that even his supporters could look at. I don't know if that's really going to move the needle, because they found a way to excuse everything from the death of children to pick one.
Right. How is there not one picture of him in blackface? How is he better off than Justin Trudeau in that?
Well, the amazing thing is that he, like with everything he does, you know, he says the quiet part out loud. He walks around in orange face. And so that's how he resists the temptation to wear black faces. He seems to be covered in orange.
That's
makeup.
How he resists it. Every day he looks at his makeup kit. There's one orange and one black. And he's like, don't do it.
How do I?
Orange. It's good enough.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Now I'd like to introduce you to Meaningful Beauty, the famed skincare brand created by iconic supermodel Cindy Crawford. It's her secret to absolutely gorgeous skin. Meaningful Beauty makes powerful and effective skincare simple, and it's loved by millions of women. It's formulated for all ages and all skin tones and types, and it's designed to work as a complete skincare system, leaving your skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. I recommend starting with Cindy's full regimen, which contains all 5 of her best-selling products, including the amazing youth-activating Melon Serum. This next generation serum has the power of melon leaf stem cell technology. It's melon leaf stem cells encapsulated for freshness and released onto the skin to support a visible reduction in the appearance of wrinkles. With thousands of glowing 5-star reviews, why not give it a try? Subscribe today and you can get the amazing Meaningful Beauty System for just $49.95. That includes our introductory 5-piece system, free gifts, free shipping, and a 60-day money-back guarantee. All of that available at MeaningfulBeauty.com.
And we're back, and the Emmys happened 2 nights ago, and ratings were at an all-time low. It was on Fox, and
I was so confused about that.
I didn't even realize it was on Fox.
Yeah, like I was only, you know, truth be told, I only watched the first 3 awards because I wanted to see if my friends and dear family were going to win. They didn't, but still congratulations for the nomination. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for it on CBS, NBC, ABC. I'm like, those are really where they are.
Right.
And then when I searched, I was like, Fox?
Yeah.
This is very un-Fox-like.
very Fox-like was that they put Jenny McCarthy out there on the red carpet.
Fuck. Are you fucking kidding
really?
Me?
Yeah.
I hate this bitch.
Apparently she's the host of that Masked Singer show.
How is she not like in jail for all the anti-vax? I can't.
Or one of the judges.
Hey, you know, she's into wellness.
Yeah. So
I hope she and Gwyneth Paltrow share a cell. That's so fucked up for me to say.
They actually had an interview.
No!
They did?
She interviewed Gwyneth Paltrow, who was there.
Right.
She's like, hey, what dumb shit do you believe in that'll get lots of money from people?
Right.
Oh, rub this silver on your neck.
She's like, no, it's got mercury in it.
Yeah. No, it's good, actually. It's in when mercury is in retrograde, that means mercury is actually good for you.
She was so bad, though, that, I mean, not that, like, I don't know. There are people who are really good at the red carpet interviews, and she is not one of them. Her name was trending for like 24 hours after, just based on how bad she was. She demanded that Julia Louis-Dreyfus do the Elaine dance.
She did.
And Julia Louis-Dreyfus was just like, just quietly declined and walked away mid-interview. And then she interviewed Christina Applegate and congratulated her on her first nomination, which it's her third. And then, you know, tried to back her way out of that poorly and closed the interview by telling Christina Applegate that she wanted to be her when she grew up. When she was younger, even though they're the same age, one year apart.
Oh my god.
So
I mean, yes, like, but, I get it. Kelly Bundy, iconic,
right?
But wow, everything you said makes me die inside.
Yeah,
to think that you would even come up, you would pull up to Julia Louis-Dreyfus and be like, do the fucking Elaine dance.
Yeah.
Now I want to make it so that she interviews me and then I can just go at her about the vaccination stuff.
Right. Wow, yeah.
If I'm on the red carpet and Jenny McCarthy is there, she's fucked.
How is Fox? Like,
yo, like, but that's a testament to her staying power. If through even this one, and by the time you get there,
right.
Yeah.
She's still there and you're like, I've been waiting for you.
What are you saying? I can't make it by next week? How
dare you? No, I'm saying Emmys.
Even if she's, bump.
Yeah, get that zeit bump. No, I'm saying, if she's there by next Emmys.
Next Emmys.
Unbelievable, the loyalty they'll show.
It's going to be on PBS next time.
The fact that there's a Quibi. Fox executive who's out here being like Jenny McCarthy for... Yeah.
Like,
she's so sad.
She's a star.
I mean, it's the network that brought us Japanese people in doing an eating contest with a bear.
I loved that clip, though.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
Me and my friend, we used to watch that back in the day when you would watch a TV show on the phone with somebody. We watched the Man vs. Beast specials just laughing because the Fox, like in the early 2000s, those Fox specials were by far the most absurd things you could have ever watched.
Right. Man versus Beast. Wait, I don't even know.
It was that. It would be like a group of little people doing a tug of war with like an elephant.
Oh.
Was it
pure bullshit.
Was it Kobayashi or whatever?
Yeah, I think it was.
And he's the hot dog eating guy. And he had like, he was doing his thing where he like dipped the bread in the water and he was like going at it. And everybody was like, oh my God. And like the bear was just like looking around and Kobayashi was getting all these hot dogs down. And then like right at the end, the bear just like looked around, took one bite and ate everything.
Yeah, it was like a mouth of scoop.
And he just like, yeah, it just destroyed his dream.
I think they had a dude running against a zebra. Yeah. It was this dumb spectacle shit.
Wait, didn't they have Usain Bolt run against a
Oh, he ran somewhere horse? Recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
He raced a horse. Fox. Yeah, they're geniuses of TV. They had Thomas Lennon doing like voiceover work.
Yeah.
That was like where he was because they didn't have a host. Which worked for the Oscars, and the reviews seemed to indicate it didn't work here as well. They had Thomas Lennon, like, as people were walking up to the stage, he would, like, drop in, like, some voiceover, and, like, some of it was funny, because it's Thomas Lennon, but, like, some of it was just so jarring that it was like, director's commentary over
right.
top
well, it was
of
supposed to
a
be
thing
like,
that usually doesn't have it.
Well, how it used to be, right? Like, or normally, when a winner's announced, then the announcer gives some generic factoid. It's
right.
like, this is her third nomination and second win.
Yeah.
And then it'd be Thomas Lennon being like, they're adding another 39 centimeters of Hollywood gold-plated magic to their collection.
Right.
It's like, okay.
Also, Daniel O'Brien is a fucking Emmy winner now that he writes for
He was
John
so
Oliver.
Unsure of himself,
he
too,
was up
before.
There on
I was hyping him up, saying, you will win. And he's like, it's very... that. It's not going to happen. Look at him.
He looked like he belonged up there. I'm seeing many more Emmys in his future. And Fleabag crushed it. Bunch of wins.
Yeah.
Much deserved. So
I love Fleabag.
Yeah. It was very good. She's great. All right. Let's get into our Lenny news, a new segment on the show. So first, Bagel
I
Boss.
I killed it, George.
Bagel Boss guy versus Lenny Dykstra.
Oh, that Lenny.
That fight, a celebrity in quotes boxing match that no one asked for.
Who is Lenny Dykstra?
So he was a Phillies baseball, no, a Mets baseball player.
Played for the Phillies, too.
Phillies.
Yeah.
Boxing
Maybe
match.
Both.
He's like kind of famous for being the Major League Baseball player who has consumed the most drugs over the course of a lifetime, possibly. And, you know, struggling. But he was called Nails back in the day because he was tough. And
he had terrible hangnails.
Oh, I thought he just like he had beautiful manicures. Yeah,
despite being a bubbler, like
Cardi's inspiration.
You're like, have you seen Lenny's manicure? It's insane.
He needs like
that,
special baseball
or
bat.
Really fucking weird curled over nails. Like, yeah, have you seen nails
Guinness,
over there?
Guinness Book of World Records, old Indian dude nails.
Oh, they always curl at the end.
Yeah,
it's weird how they always get that curl at the end. Also, if you ever seen...
They actually use an iron to do it.
Also, shout out to anyone. If you ever seen a woman with super long manicure, if you ever see them type with the backs of their hands...
Oh, creepy,
that's a
what?
Fucking skill.
They type with the backs of their hands?
People are out here typing with the backs of their hands. Look for it in a city where women have long-ass nails, and it doesn't stop
Do they, instead of fingering, do they knuckle?
I don't know. Yeah. It's a lot of topical rubbing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
anyway,
they just
where were we?
The nails?
We went from Lenny Dykstra's weird fingernails to knuckling.
Anyway,
oh,
this
fight.
Celebrity boxing match. The
more on knuckling.
Erstwhile Fox TV executive who organized this fight was, you know, of an age where he was like, "Who's the toughest dude in the world? Lenny Dykstra.
Who we can exploit.
Let's have him beat up the Bagel Boss guy because you know that's somebody that everybody wanted to see get roughed up a little bit."
Yeah.
That fight has been canceled.
Officially.
I don't know how we didn't start off with this news. This is huge news.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, I was hoping to see Chris Bagel Boss dude just get his
lit up,
his whole soul reconfigured and handed back to him.
I just don't want to see these people become famous. Like,
yeah,
I'm tired of seeing that.
Yeah.
He got. Do you know how much he's like, he was upset. He, like, women hated him, and now he's probably, like, swimming in pussy.
I don't know. We did a follow-up recently.
Oh, really?
He just basically does a lot of Instagram stories where he's begging women to call his manager, and they got to live in Suffolk County.
But
if you live in Suffolk County and you want to smoke weed and fucking party with me and fucking call my manager and we can fucking hang out.
You're, like, too good at that voice.
That's what he does, though. And he's like, it was really sad. He just goes, look, I'm going to be real, okay? I want to fuck. And it was like, so it was clearly.
But to Pahlavi's point, I think the way that he's getting that like shitty attitude of like entitlement,
right, of course,
is that he probably is doing okay for himself. But
not
really doing well for himself. But
in his mind, it's probably been the worst thing for his ego, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know he's doing like, you know, stuff on Cameo where you can pay him like $30 and he'll be like, what's up? It's Bagel Dude. Fuck
right.
you.
Yeah.
Can you give me $30? So the reason why, though, the fight got canceled is that right now Lenny Dykstra has a $15 million lawsuit that he's filed against L.A. County and other deputies saying that he was badly beaten while serving a sentence in 2012.
I mean.
Now, I don't know what exactly happened there, but I'm wondering if his lawyer was like, if you're saying you got injuries and shit, you probably shouldn't be fighting some dude, like full-on fighting. Or if you fucking fold this dude up in half, they're going to be like, this guy maybe has been very physically aggressive, whatever happened. I don't know exactly what the details are, if it was actually a beating at the hands of, oh, the cops beat him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he said the cop, okay, I didn't even realize that.
You just said that.
I just read it right now. I was trying to figure out what happened. Like, I didn't know if he wasn't at, like, he's saying they didn't adequately protect me in jail and inmates jumped me. He was saying he was beat by police.
Yeah.
So I wonder, again, it's probably not good to show your client looking very spry and aggro. Or if the lawyer was like, look, I don't know what kind of check you're going to get out of beating this, like, toxic incel versus a $15 million payday from the county of Los Angeles.
Right. And he said the fight will not be rescheduled.
Yeah.
In an effort to make it seem like,
don't worry,
he
not
needs
y'all.
This money.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
All right.
I'll fight Bagel Boss.
Yeah. Shit.
I'll do it. Throw my name in the ring. Yeah, fuck yeah. I'll
beat his ass.
I'll do one of these. I'll just hold out my hand, and he'll be like, "Why I oughta."
I think you could. I think you could slap him once, and he would. Something would awaken within him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Kung Fu Panda.
He
just like discovers his powers.
All right. And then in our second update in Lenny news, Lenny Kravitz has a problem. He needs our help to solve it.
You asked me, you said, oh, should we talk about the Lenny Kravitz thing? I go, what happened?
Right.
And I was really concerned.
Yeah.
That maybe he was a Benghazi sex crim.
Nah, man. Lenny Kravitz is too, I feel like, I don't know. Well, I won't put anything past anyone.
I mean, he did expose himself
on stage.
He did
accidentally expose himself, and everyone was like, thank you.
Yeah. One of the few times you were like, yum.
Yeah, wow.
Janet Jackson was somewhere pissed.
His beautiful cock just burst forth from his, pants.
Blew
out his pants. Anyways. He tweeted, I'm missing this pair of sunglasses with picture of him wearing just very Lenny Kravitz sunglasses after my show in L.A. at the Shrine this weekend. They're incredibly sentimental to me. They're vintage and they belonged to a family member. Hoping to get them back. No questions asked. Any information, please email kravitzglasses@gmail.com.
Oh,
so I like how both pictures are him in different types of denim.
Right.
Just like long sleeve, short sleeve.
Very tight, form fitting.
Yes.
As it should be.
I mean, that's.
I just
sucks.
Like that he created a Gmail for his sunglasses.
Well, which is funny because I know Kravitz Glasses as an optometry clinic.
Right.
In Echo Park.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So
the fact that he was able to get that email.
He like paid them like $12,000 to get that email.
Gerald
address.
Kravitz is pissed right now. I hope they find. I'm curious to know what that story is.
It's
you know?
Just such a funny flex, but yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be following this story, obviously.
I mean, I used to work backstage at the Shrine doing concerts.
Oh, really?
And shit, if I found somebody's shit, I wasn't giving it back.
Right.
I mean, I definitely, look.
But this seems
full disclosure,
like
I stole a cell phone charging battery pack from talent that left it behind after a concert. Okay, I got that weight off
canceled.
My back.
Fucking canceled.
Fucking.
Are you able to say who the talent is? Are you brave enough to say who the talent is?
Yeah, are you?
Are you man enough?
Yeah.
It was an electronic dance artist.
An electronic dance
artist? And they were
artist?
On the bill of Hard Halloween 2011.
Well, I mean,
I'll
they're
going to
know who they are.
Fatboy Slim.
All right, guys, let's talk about the newest streaming show that everybody's excited for. No, of course, we're not talking about the Reese Witherspoon morning news show coming from Apple. We are talking about Swipe Night.
Which is...
Swipe Night, dude.
The Tinder show.
Yeah, the choose your own adventure Tinder show.
Isn't that just Tinder?
Yeah, Tinder's creating an original series.
And it's a play on Swipe Right.
Yeah.
Damn.
Oh, no way.
That's fucking sick, Tindo.
Tindo.
Shout out to Tindo.
This is like the fulfillment of a joke I've heard a lot of people make where they're like, yeah, you can catch my new web series
on Tinder.
Tinder or like, you know, right. Some other way
on
Craigslist. We're developing a series for Craigslist. But yeah, this is really happening.
I mean, the premise is interesting. It's 5-minute episodes where you decide what to do through the narrative, where it takes place during an impending apocalypse. And I just like that in each episode, users who participate will be ushered through an apocalyptic scenario and prompted to make a series of choices from the seemingly unimportant, how to best DJ a party, to the critical, whose life to save.
Oh, wow.
I think the reason that this is going to be wildly successful is because we no longer use Tinder to actually meet people.
Right.
It's in the game section of my phone. Right. Because right. Y'all playing. But I think everybody is going to use it and it's going to be very successful because I just use it to entertain myself when I'm bored.
Another thing pops up and you're like, oh, man, yeah, maybe I don't need to really be swiping. I'll just do this mystery game because the amount that these apps have perfected just sucking our faces into the screen time.
They're like, we've
really
already gamified your self-worth. So why not just gamify games?
Yeah.
Just entertainment games.
Yeah.
As they're called, right? That's what you guys call video games? Entertainment games?
I think it would be fun if we like were able to actually have like real world consequences. Like if we as like the general populace could like decide on like which celebrities have to go on a Tinder date with each other.
Mm.
I would watch that like immediately.
Right. Like real, truly entertainment you're in control of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Well, this one now is really just used to like take some of the choices you made to better match you with somebody possibly.
I bet it's not going to. The people that they like fucking Hinge recommends for me is awful.
Right.
They're like, you'd be most compatible with this fucking redneck. Like, I don't
cactus.
Know.
Right.
The thing on there, like it says, a Tinder user's particular view on how a group of characters should spend the eve of the apocalypse will lead them to others with similar takes, the thinking goes, and then perhaps to an awkward first date in real life.
Ah, fun. So wait,
it's exciting to see how serial killers will pick their next victim.
They're promising an awkward first date? Isn't that like, aren't they supposed to be promising a not awkward first date?
They've given up.
I don't know.
They've also gamified their self-worth.
Right.
Because they're like, yeah, you want more swipes, bro?
Right.
Pay us more money for hyper mode.
Okay,
hyper
so mode. Here's a premise. Arranged marriage.
Yeah.
It's a video game / TV show where celebrities are arranged by votes from fans to see like who they will go out on a date with the ultimate goal being somebody gets married.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that 90 Day Fiancé? Aren't there shows like that where they get married?
There are shows, but it's not like I would say Married at First Sight is a little more similar where they have experts just be like, okay, are you down to get married to whoever we tell you is your match and to idiots agree.
Yeah.
And then it's sometimes good, most times very cringy.
Right. Okay. Never mind. Ignore my show.
No,
page.
We're funding it right now.
Well, hold on. Quibi might fund that. let's get Quibi on the phone.
Has already funded that.
They fund everything.
They have funded every theoretical possible TV show premise just to cover their bases. But this is from the auteur behind Drake's videos for God's Plan and In My Feelings. I mean, those are good videos.
Yeah, Corinne Evans. They got her
directing it. Okay.
Yeah.
That's such a weird... You're like, yeah, I did Drake's videos. Now I'm going to Tinder.
That seems like some Tinder-ass like, shit, though. They're like, and who should we get to direct it?
Right.
Oh, the woman who directed God's Plan.
Yeah.
Get her on the line.
Just give her a paycheck that she can't say no to.
I guess she doesn't only like her bed and her mama.
Ooh, and she's not sorry.
She's not sorry.
I mean, look, that's a good check. I have a feeling, because they put $5 million into it.
Right.
There's something there, but it's kind of like this whole thing, like everybody's getting into content now. I start to worry, it's like, do they actually have someone who's like a good writer? Like, could the product actually be good? Or is it just one of those things where a company with a lot of money is like, dude, we could make content too. Give me a $5 million check, I'll make
magic.
I
would really enjoy it if it was really good. I
think
like
it would
I'm
be
excited.
Interesting.
Hell
but,
yeah.
Well, yeah. Who knows? Then I'll have to get Tinder.
So even...
no, baby. No, I just got it, I just got it for the
this.
Content,
Are
baby.
You
I swear.
Me?
I swear I had to make a profile, sweetie. I would never.
Look, I don't respond to half these messages. The other ones I do, I was asking what their take on the how you would DJ a party.
Monkey face emoji means nothing to me, babe.
As if this couldn't get more like self-parody, even Walmart is getting in on streaming content. They're teaming up with MGM for the Vudu, V-U-D-U, streaming platform. And their first show is a remake of the 80s Michael Keaton movie Mr. Mom, which our writer Jan McNabb pointed out, explores the hilarious premise, what if a man tried to raise children, right? Like, what would we even call this male version of mom?
Babysitting.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Mr. Mom.
So what, I mean, I'm guessing it's still based on the same outdated sort of gender norms.
Yeah, it's just like Walmart is still on board. They're like, that would be wild.
I wish it was like Michael Keaton as Batman raising a kid.
Right.
Hell yeah.
That would have been a better thing to
read. And he has no parenting skills because he was
like,
orphaned.
He was like, I don't know. You just leave him in a cave.
I don't know. Let's never go to a show ever. And just, I got to go. I didn't realize the twist or the update to this is that he has to juggle his parenting duties with launching a startup called Pizza Mail.
Pizza Mail?
Yep. That's all I know.
A pizza delivery service?
Yeah. Wait, it says, it falls the story of a couple who switches places. Greg quits work to take care of the kids after former stay-at-home mom, Megan, lands her dream job.
Right.
This is literally just life. I can't.
Because you have to include the, how the hell did they get this way?
The
where
woman.
A man stays at home and a woman has a job?
It's because the woman wanted things.
Oh, she had a dream.
Right.
The audacity.
Right.
Is that how the Michael Keaton one worked out?
I have no idea.
No recollection.
No rec.
The funnier part, though, too, to be even more like generationally tone deaf, it's like, well, Megan, who is the stay-at-home mom who's now going back to work, has to navigate a work environment tailored for millennial employees.
Oh, no.
You can only imagine. She's like, "Oh, what's up? What's up, lady? I better yeet on out of here on my vape board."
Uh-huh. That's like, how we all get around these days. Well, I will be tuning in to both of those.
So you're going to get Voodoo?
Hell yeah.
I don't even know
how you get these other
things. It's like violently built into half of the streaming TVs now.
Right.
And it's always like a thing I see and I'm like, who the fuck is paying for that?
Wait, why is Voodoo the first app on my Apple TV?
Yeah, like, why is there a full button dedicated to that on my remote?
Right.
Talk about buttons I will never touch.
The Voodoo button?
Yeah, I'm like,
there's the back mute Voodoo.
Voodoo. What?
Capitalism, market economy, man.
It's all about
fair.
Integrations,
yeah.
Man. Synergy,
it's all about
collabos.
Innovations and just, you know, people competing on a fair playing field. Well, Pallavi, it's been a pleasure having you back.
It's been great being here.
It's been great having you. Where can people find you, follow you?
Okay, get out pen and paper.
Here we go.
PallaviGunAlan. That's my Instagram, my Facebook, my Twitter, and my website.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
And is there a tweet or a work of social media that you've been enjoying?
Okay, my buddy... I'm gonna promote my buddy. My buddy, Rick Cesario, he is very hilarious, and he has a bunch of really amazing tweets. He's R Cesario, RCISARIO on Twitter. He tweeted 6 days ago, "Your sex drive is how far you are willing to drive to have sex."
That's actually...
He has like a bunch of great tweets that'll get like 50,000 likes, but he only has 972 followers.
Right.
But he has amazing tweets like that all the time.
That's
so
great.
Everybody go follow him.
Everybody go follow Rick Cesario.
Very good writer. Very great stand-up.
And Miles, where can people find you? And is there a tweet you've been enjoying, friend?
Oh, thanks, friendo. You can find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. I would like to call out a couple tweets. One is from Naomi McParrigan at Blackdress. It's a photo that says shrimp cocktail only 99 cents, just like 1976. And her caption is Las Vegas in a nutshell. Right. There's something so deeply frightening to me about a shrimp cocktail that is 99 cents. But don't worry about it because it's Vegas, baby. We buy in volume.
Yeah.
And then another tweet is from Reductress. It says, "Woman just calling everything self-care to see what sticks."
Hell yeah.
I feel like that sometimes.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Ben Rosen tweeted, "Everyone, silence of the lambs, New York Times. For lambs, silence."
For lambs.
Paul F. Tompkins, "Reminder, 2020 also marks the end of Pitbull's current term as Mr. Worldwide. Please go to a bunch of clubs in Miami over the next 12 months and learn about the other candidates."
I saw that one.
And Katie Stoll tweeted in response to Daniel O'Brien's tweet, a thrilling day for this simple fisherman. She tweeted, unbelievably proud of this man. To think just a few short years ago, we were shooting things like Who Fucked This Pumpkin? Which was a sketch from Michael Swaim, that one of the all-time greats. That is exactly, it's a mystery wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in an episode about Who Fucked This Pumpkin. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be?
New track from E La Bamba. Played a lot of her music before. This one is called Gabrielle. And look, again, the vibes are right. The drums are booming. The percussion's great. I really like percussion. You like percussion on this. And just, you know, embrace. Enjoy.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.